Remember the Volcker rule? Looks like it's finally gonna get done. With teeth.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Volcker Rule is part of the Dodd-Frank financial overhaul. It's named for former Fed Chair Paul Volcker and basically said banks can't make certain risky trades for their own book. It hasn't gone into effect yet, but regulators have been tinkering with it for years, and now it looks like the final version is going to be tougher than the draft, which almost never happens when lobbyists work their magic on a law. Richard Silla is a professor at NYU's Stern School of Business. Good morning.
Good morning.
I covered Washington for a long time. Usually the big banks get their muscle in behind something and water down a regulation. That does not seem to be the case here. What happened, do you think?
I think the big banks got in there and tried to water down the regulation, worked pretty hard at it, and they had some partial triumphs along the way. But remember, the big banks, it's come out now that there's a lot of misbehavior. J.P. Morgan Chase and London Whale, where they lost $6 billion. A lot of fines have been announced lately. So I think the trend of events have said to them and said to the regulators, look, the banks do take too much risk and they lose money. And it's a good point now when the banks are a bit under a cloud to push through a stronger rule. And I think that's what's going to happen next week.
If you're a regular old person who banks at a bank, is anything going to change for you?
Oh, I don't think much will change for the ordinary person using a bank. What this will do will make banking a bit safer. And so, you know, we don't lose money on our deposits in the bank because they're insured. But if the banks go bust and the government has to rush in and bail them out, we lose money as taxpayers because our tax money has to go to bail out the banks. And so I think the Volcker Rule is designed to keep the taxpayer safer, not so much the depositor who is already safe.
Richard Silla of the NYU Stern School of Business, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Lizzie.
From those big banks to small ones, turns out your corner bank took a pretty big hit during the recession and from the regulations that followed it. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith reports.
Dodd-Frank, the Consumer Protection Act, and other regulation put a lot of new rules in place for banks. They have to have a certain amount of cash on hand. They have to investigate large cash deposits. The new rules often mean banks have to hire people to ensure compliance. Michael Mebs is an economist who advises banks.
Before Dodd-Frank, an institution below $500 million had a half of a person dealing with compliance. Today, it's almost four.
That additional labor brings additional cost, says Mebs, often around $250,000. That kind of money isn't a big deal for banks like Wells Fargo or Chase, but it is a big deal for smaller institutions, says bank consultant Ken Thomas.
And it could be the difference between a profitable year and a non-profitable year for a bank.
In order to deal with this, many banks have started cutting costs and raising fees. And Thomas says many small banks are putting themselves up for sale and being snapped up by larger competitors. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Personally, I am not a fan of people using their smartphone at my dinner table. Nope, banned. But some restaurants are very pro-phone because mobile apps that allow customers to order and pay are growing. Still, that subtracts some hospitality from the hospitality business. To check this all out, Marketplace's Mark Garrison went out to lunch.
City Winery in New York offers live music, food, drinks, and recently, service via smartphone. But it's not Jetson stuff. You still order with a human server. How's the soup? Tell me about that.
Soup is really nice. It's a nice, hearty, warm, seasonal squash soup served with maple cream and pistachios.
That sounds good. So let me do the soup and the kale Caesar.
Sounds great.
I have to download an app and sign into a PayPal account, which takes a minute. Finally, I'm in, see my order, and realize I made a mistake. I don't want to be a cliche, so I hit the alert server button on the app.
It looks like you got the alert. Here he comes. So I was thinking instead of the kale Caesar, because I feel like a kale salad, that's just way too public radio. So let me just get instead the Greek country salad.
Sounds great.
Being able to summon the server with my phone feels a bit creepy, but it's definitely convenient, and it could help a business like City Winery. General Manager David Richter wants to sell more food and drink during live shows, but doesn't want servers to ruin a concert by bugging customers.
It's a little bit awkward to have one of our servers standing in front of Steve Earle as he's hitting a great note and ask if somebody wants another cheeseburger.
It's also about speed and efficiency, a key part of the pitch from NCR. It sells this technology for a monthly fee it declines to reveal. As an early adopter, City Winery doesn't have to pay it right now. If the technology leads to more sales and faster table turns, it pays its way. Harder to quantify, the risk of losing human connection.
There are a number of ways that technology can't replace the personal touch.
Mary Chapman directs innovation at food consultancy Technomic.
A computer can't smile at you or ask you how your day's going.
Or describe a dish, which my waiter, Will Gorin, did well. At City Winery, smartphone payments are growing, but they're still small, around 3%. That's not even a dozen people on a typical night. Those servers still worry about their jobs a little.
If you're going to order your food through a computer, you may as well have a robot take the food to you. There's no reason for me to be around.
His boss promises no robot servers. He adds that those who pay by mobile tend to tip better. I did the same even if my server didn't have to bring me a paper check. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
So if you like that, Applebee's announced yesterday that they're going to install tablets on tables so customers can order, pay, and play games whenever they want. Because why would you ever want to interact with your family, friends, or, God forbid, a date? In New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.